Welcome to the Thread Raiders podcast, where some of your notifications' least favorite Twitter users get together and talk about whatever pops off the top of their head. I'm your host, Captain Sugar Bear. With me today is Shrieky.
Hey, everyone.
And Griff Olian.
Hello.
And welcome to episode 2. First, a little housekeeping before we jump into the topics. I did want to thank everybody in the community who listened to the show, gave it a chance, retweeted, shared it with people. Honestly, the support was overwhelming. And I know I can definitely speak for myself when I say that I was personally overwhelmed with with all the support. I don't know about you guys.
Oh, man, I was blown away. Seriously, everyone's love and support. I mean, I should have expected it from the Twitter community, but I was, again, blown away by it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing.
We just wanted to thank you for giving us a shot. The only other bit I have is we are also proud to announce that we are now being sponsored by DiceBard. So if you go to DiceBard.com, use the discount code ThreadRaiders, and you'll actually get free expedited shipping on your order. So, you know, it's a little cool something for you, and, we're really happy with that, too. But without further ado, let's actually get to the topics. And we got some good ones here today. I know, Griff, I want to start you off with your topic. So why don't you go ahead and let us know what it is?
Yeah, so I was having a bit of a clean out, messing the room around, moving things around. And at the bottom of my drawers, I found a nice pair of flared jeans, that oh-so timeless piece of clothing. And it got me thinking, if people suddenly started looking at you like you're a trendsetter, you know, you start noticing people wearing similar things to you down the street, and eventually there's like clones of you walking everywhere, what fashion would you either bring back, or would you steal from like movies, or what fashion would you create as a mainstream thing?
So, Shrieky, do you have anything off the top of your head that would fit that?
Yeah, actually, I do. The first thing that actually popped into my head is, first off, I love the style of corsets. I don't, you know, like the whole organ rearranging type, you know, where you get like a 1-inch waist. But yeah. I do love the style and the look of the corsets, especially when you get to a steampunk style.
Yeah.
And yes. If we could mix that with kind of an apocalyptic style, like kind of seen in Tank Girl.
I think. Yeah, I can see that.
And that would be my ideal fashion sense, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how I would look in that kind of clothing. First of all, a corset would not be super flattering on me. I do have the boobs for it, but I think it would just squish everything else together. I might go like a denim vest with like spikes if we're doing post-apocalyptic. No shirt underneath. I apologize to everybody in advance.
You don't have to apologize for turning us on, B. It's okay.
A bit of warning is nice, just so we can all sit down before you come around the corner. But
exactly,
you'll know I'm coming around the corner because you'll hear me lumber.
Yeah, just all that like all those spikes and stuff just clanging against each other as you come around.
Yeah, I mean, I don't walk so much as I just kind of like lumber into a room, and it just, I mean, there's a reason why everyone calls me Bear.
Sexy Bear in a corset, which I mean. I didn't know I needed to see that till now. But yeah, no, I like that. I think that's one of those ones as well, is it's quite a drastic, it's almost a return to where we've been fashion-wise. Like, it's not something that's obviously really come back round popular-wise, because there are health like issues with them. But they are a pretty cool aesthetic. So
yeah, yeah. I mean, they just are very nice to look at too. I mean, they really are. Yeah, they I think it's like almost like the way they frame the figure, you know?
And yeah.
Personally, like I'm like you, or I really like the steampunk style of them. Like there's just like cool straps and buckles and stuff like that. I just think they're just really cool to look at.
Exactly same. I love the ones that have the pouches on the sides and just has that kind of old medieval aesthetic to it.
Definitely.
Definitely, definitely. I know for me personally, like as far as style, I have never been into fashion. I don't know style to save my damn life. I mean, jeans and a screen t-shirt, that is pretty much me all the time. Sometimes a leather jacket. So if I was going to trendset for the world, I would not be able to help myself but to troll the shit out of the world. And so I will walk around every single day in nothing but sequins. Just a sequin shirt.
It's a bold move.
Sequin booty shorts. That is going to be the fashion. And everyone's going to look at that and be like, yes, that man knows what he's doing in life. And they're going to do the same damn thing. And I'm the only one who's in on the joke.
Although part of me wonders whether maybe it might backfire. If you're truly that covered in sequins and it's a bright enough day, I don't think people can tell what you're wearing. You'll just be burning retinas out just with that.
I mean, either way, glare. I win.
So. Well, maybe that's his goal, you know? People are just going to take one look at him and go blind. And then, like, hold... That must have been the most gorgeous man I've ever looked at.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Just radiating this energy out.
Just exactly. An angel sent from above.
I like it. I think that's a very bold move. I think, honestly, I think that sequins would look great on you. Yeah, I think you could definitely rock that look.
Hell yeah. Yes.
And, you know, I mean, one day it might be purple sequins. One day it might be, like, silver sequins. It'll never be the same exact sequins, but yeah. One way or another, I'm going to be one shiny dude.
The shiniest. I would also like to see, you, like, you're going to have to go get that tailored, right, to get a proper fit on something like that.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're going to do it, you've got to do it properly. So I just, you know, I'm really jealous of the skilled individual that gets to put that together for you.
You're just jealous of the measurement taking, I'm sure.
Well, you got me.
Oh, man. So what's your style, Griff?
Mine's actually kind of weirdly already touched on. Just steampunk things. I'd have people in waistcoats and, yeah, like, top hats. And I'd be bringing back, like, the monocle. There'd be gears on everything.
Yes.
The color copper and, like, brass would be everywhere. Yeah. That's, like... That would be my thing. It would be steampunk is just I don't know. It's timeless in my opinion because it's that future and the past combination.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I love the idea of it.
I like a good long like coat, you know, coat with tails and just like you said, like straps and shit on everything. Yeah. Like I think that would be great. And I think everyone looks good in it, if I'm honest. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. It's definitely a fashion that, I mean, you know, tall, short, big, small, like, no matter who you are, there mm-hmm. is a way to tailor that fashion and just make you look like a complete and utter badass.
Definitely. And it goes well with, the, like, hair as well. As someone that likes to, like, put a bit of color in their hair, I think that definitely, like, adds to the whole image as well.
Nobody here likes to add color to their hair. What are you talking about?
It's not a thing we do. No.
You guys are just completely plain Jane, just like me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think all in all, it's just one of those fashions that it's very universally appealing and just looks cool, in my opinion. That's just my little, like, I get kind of nerdy over steampunk stuff, so couldn't not.
All right, well, I feel like we learned something very important about you today, Griff. You know, steampunk. Awesome, badass. Though I feel like we learned something important about all of our style choices. I'm a troll. Tricky likes corsets. But I'd like to know, kind of moving on, Tricky, you have your own topic that also seems super interesting. So what do you got for us?
Well, I'm pretty sure everyone has, at one point in their lives, especially when we were children, a TV show that we absolutely could not miss, and we would go to any extreme measures in order not to miss it. So I'm wondering if you guys had a show, and if so, what it was, and if you ever went to any extremes to not miss an episode.
Griff, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I can do. Rather disappointingly, I don't think I had any extremes that I had to go for. Like, everything over here was very timed. Like, you'd finish school, and the shows would start kind of like, you had enough time to get home and then we showed to start. So I was very lucky. I just come home, sit in front of the TV for however long, and I was lost. But yeah, like I had like the classic trio of shows for me that I remember, I guess, probably when I was not like a super young child, but you know, for me it was Power Rangers, without a doubt. Like I had to watch Power Rangers.
Yes.
Yeah. Yu-Gi-Oh! Was my... Like, I know at the time you had, like, Digimon, which I loved, and you had Pokemon, which I loved because I was a kid, sure. but like Yu-Gi-Oh was the one for me, you know, the card game for me. And then Beyblade, which actually inspired my username and is still with me to this day.
Really? That's where it came from.
Yeah. Yeah. So Beyblade had Bit Beasts, the creatures. I was literally retelling this for someone the other day, actually, so it's kind of appropriate. It comes up now. And yeah, I stole the name from like a British bad guy in that show. And it's just, yeah, stuck with me. I mean, I misspelt it, but that's fine. but I was really lucky. I just always got to watch what I wanted. There's like so many. I actually had a quick look before giving my answer on this to see the shows, and my mind was just thrown back like so many years seeing all the TV shows coming up. Things like Tasmanian Devil and things like that, yeah. I used to love. So a shout out for like UK viewers, by the way, just before I move on and pass this on to you. Chucklevision. Can I just get a shout out to Chucklevision?
The
just
hell you is know, this won't mean anything. What?
That sounds you don't... creepy.
It's just two brothers, Barry and Paul Chuckle. Their catchphrase to me to you, they were like hapless, like handymen.
Okay, and their names were not Chuckle. No.
Yeah, to me to you. Just anyone that knows that, just high five. Clearly the cool kids. Yeah. And Google it if you don't know, you'll love the intro. It's great.
What I love about you, Griff, is you bring the strangest shit to us from the UK. Just the strangest shit.
I'm all about strange shit. Like, I do my best.
I don't know, B. You're kind of bringing up those sock puppets there in the...
True.
Which and literally you're nobody around knew what I was talking well. About, except for a couple people on Twitter were like, yes, fuck those things. So, I felt validated.
Well, I guess that leaves me here. So, I think for childhood show, it would definitely be Dragon Ball, the original show. I was one of those people that lived out in the country, so I would get out of school at like 2:15, and my bus wouldn't drop me off at home till about like 3:30.
Wow.
Yeah, damn. It was a long bus ride.
It's a big chunk of time.
So I would have literally, like, my mom was pretty cool at the time. She would record it for me on VCR, and... I would watch it when I got home, but because she had to sit there, and I mean, she was pretty adamant. She would pause during the commercials and everything. And
oh, that's nice.
So what I'm getting from this is she just liked watching Dragon Ball.
She did. She would get home and she'd be like, you got to see what Vegeta did today.
Really? That's amazing.
Well, when it got to Dragon Ball Z, she wasn't so much into Dragon Ball, but when it got to Dragon Ball Z, she loved Vegeta.
See, what I got out of that was something completely different, Griff. I got out of it that Shrieky's mom was the first TiVo.
Yeah.
Oh my god, you're right.
You actually had. Wow, you were well ahead of the times. You're the true trendsetter.
I am. See? Next thing you know, people are going to be walking out with some corsets and apocalyptic wear, and
I'm ordering one right now, actually.
Maybe we can combine like all of them together. We can get like steampunk corset with sequins on it.
Check our website in 2 weeks to see pictures of all of us in corsets.
Yes. It'll be in the Thread Raider calendar, just wait.
Oh god, not the calendar. So Dragon Ball was kind of your go-to show then?
Absolutely, and I have to admit, Sailor Moon.
Okay.
Yeah, see, Sailor Moon, like, I've watched quite a lot of Sailor Moon, but I've not seen it in like a long, long time. But like, that's still got a super big following as well.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that's because, as far as anime goes, the dub wasn't great, but it was better than most anime out there.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Serena's voice is cringeworthy in Japanese and English, so, I mean, you can't win either way.
No matter which way you watch it.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then I guess, like, I haven't covered mine yet, so I had to really think about this because I don't have a great memory of a lot of things, and the only show that I could really, that came to mind... to me was actually something Griff mentioned already was Pokemon. I remember just waking up super early on Saturdays, and like every day before school it happened to be on right when I was getting ready for school, and I would just watch the shit out of that show. I absolutely loved it. And after it got to Netflix recently, I burned through the entire series again a year or two ago, and it's just, I don't know, I feel like for what it is, it's a lot more quality than you'd probably get it credit for. It's not like the movies that they released, the movies that were, eh. But, well, except for the first one. That first one made everybody cry. The first one,
yeah.
Yeah. But...
Oh, absolutely cried.
But that the original... one song... Oh, sorry?
I was going to say that one song where it's, what is it, like, that brother's song they do.
Yeah.
Like, I think brother, I know the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got, I mean, that show got you invested. Like, oh, there was a lot about that that just, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Griff. I mean, you had Pikachu slapping Pikachu at one point. There were just tears everywhere. Ash is crying. Ash is dead. And then, no, it was just too much.
Spoilers. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Hashtag spoilers. Do we put a warning up there?
The movie came out in 2001, I think, if you haven't seen it by now.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point.
You know there's going to be that one person out there that's like, I haven't watched it yet. What are you trying to do to me?
Yeah, and of course, there's a new one coming out. There's a new Pokemon film. I went to the cinema the other night, and trailer comes up. Ash and Pikachu, brand new film. So that's still going. That's the thing that's still happening.
It has, like, Ash grown up at all yet?
No.
No, he's still the same age.
Oh my god.
Forever he's got that disease that keeps you looking 10 years old forever.
Oh, that's just sad.
Yeah. That's why that show is a lot more dark than people give it credit for.
Well, come on. I mean, it's pretty much like slavery and fighting animals. And
yeah.
I mean, isn't that what the parents complained about?
I mean, yeah, they complained about a lot of things.
As well, right? So.
PETA doesn't like anything.
There's some truth into that.
Not touching but yeah, that so one with
I think, I think Pokemon is definitely understandable.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, like I said, that's really the only show that I could think of that I'm like, oh, yeah, I had to watch. But moving on, I don't actually have a topic this week. I wanted to use a community-submitted topic, our first one. So, I'm going to read.
Woo!
I'm going to read the little message I got here. It is from @PeasantChips on Twitter.
Woo, Peasant Chips! Thank you.
Thank you so much. We do appreciate your popping our community topic cherry, and we thank you for it.
That was a creepy sound.
What the?
Sorry.
Who? Who did creepy? I don't do creepy. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, never.
No, that was totally Griff.
That was Griff. Oh.
Sorry, whew. I gasped in a rather seductive way.
He is a British villain.
Very sensual.
I try.
Anyway, the message from @PeasantChips reads, I'm big into TTRPGs, D&D especially, and I'd love to hear all your favorite gaming moments from player or DM side. So I figured, you know, each of us share one of our favorite stories, and I think actually I'd like to start this one because mine happened just last night.
Oh, shit, damn.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
So... I this was me as a player, because I play in a game and I run another game, and we kind of had done a 2-year flash forward from the last time we had played these characters, and in that time my character had taken over essentially all of Faerun, and become emperor, and we dropped in at the wedding and coronation of my character becoming emperor, and
wow.
The way my DM laid out the scene of like the wedding and everything, and all of my old friends coming back together, who I hadn't seen in years, all those moments got me really misty. I'm sitting at the table, just super duper misty. Like my eyes are welling up with tears. I'm like, he's just so beautiful. How it's being described, I could totally like put myself there, especially since my character didn't really want to marry this girl. Totally not interested. Just doing it for the good of the realm. So like I felt like all those emotions tugging at me, and it was just a really well thought out, really well done moment. And it all led to, of course, now the world's gonna end because you can't even have just one nice night when you're with my
crew. Of course, we can't have nice things.
And it led to the absolute peak of that for me, and it was totally improvised, and it wasn't something I was planning on doing. But one of the players got a letter from another player who wouldn't be able to join us for the rest of this, so he was essentially killed off. and the letter was red, and I literally just slapped my hand on the table, stood up, and started just like pacing around and gave this fucking speech, man, that I don't even know where the hell it came from, but I felt like, you know, as the emperor and as a leader, I should have something to say about this. And it was just like, I looked at everybody, I was like, I'm sorry, I got a little carried away, and I sat down.
But everyone's their really jaws open. Just...
Yeah, it was, yeah. It was a really good moment and a really good speech, and I just, like, everyone was like, okay, well, that's a thing that happened. I'm like, yeah. But
I like it when people get that much into it, though. I mean, that's a good kind of getting, or a good way to get carried away.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I've had people actually, like, cry at the table.
Guilty.
No, I mean for, like, something the DM did that was mean.
Oh, that's a whole different kind of, right, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's bad.
So, to me, that's the bad kind of getting carried away. Whereas, I mean, you're just getting into character. That's something I, like, encourage.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
I encourage impromptu speeches, yeah.
I've gotten pretty decent at coming up with impromptu speeches, so, you know, who knows, maybe I'm just gonna, that's what I'll do for a living, I'll just walk around giving random speeches to strangers.
We do have a time limit on the podcast, though, Bear, so try to not break out for one just while we're recording. As inspirational as I would find that.
I make no promises, Griff.
No.
None at all. But... since you're so keen on me not talking anymore, why don't you go ahead, Griff, and tell us your story?
Now that was not my insinuation. Damn.
Ice cold, Griff. Ice cold.
Ice cold. I know. I'm sorry. I'm just a bad man. Like,
you are a British villain again. So.
Oh, I am. I'm actually the bad guy of the podcast. Spoiler
alert. Yeah, it really does seem like we're learning a lot about Griff today.
I'm just revealing all of my layers. Just, you know.
Ooh, removing the layers there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
tell us. That corset's come off. I can finally breathe again.
Yeah.
So mine, I mean, this is kind of just going to really perpetuate the image of me as the bad guy. So I DM a game for my friends. We were running through the Lost Mines of Phandalva campaign. And... there is, I guess there's a semi-spoiler alert. It's not, like, really important thing, but there is a dragon in this this starter set. Designed to teach you the game, of course. Dragon, sure. So my party, they come across this. And I was like, you know when you try to warn, right? Like, this might not be appropriate for you now. There are people nearby to provide warnings, you know, and my party just, they had the confidence, you know, they really wanted to fight this dragon or at least deal with the situation here.
So you basically, you big time put the red skull icon over the dragon.
Oh yeah. Like this was like, there was no level. It was like question mark, like everything was red. It was, the warnings were there. I even adjusted, I don't know if anyone knows how this is like supposed to play out, but, there are some cultists nearby, and basically the dragon didn't take any of their shit and it like annihilated them, and my party were like, this is fine. Sure. So I was dreading it. Like I thought that was, I'm blessed at the moment to have never, the party I play with, to never have really had a death. No permanent characters have been lost. There's been like temporary stuff or whatever, but
wow.
That moment, I thought I was looking at a TPK. Like, I you know, we've always had this thing where if I'm playing a... I've got to roll as honestly as I can roll, right? And I was like, shit, I'm rolling for a green dragon right now. I think it's a young green dragon, but nonetheless. But and so they're having a conversation, and the dragon does its whole spiel, and they're outside this tower. They managed to get outside the tower. And one of my fighters is just standing in front of it. And everyone else, I don't really notice what they've kind of done it, but they've all kind of stood away from each other. And I don't know, they just did this thing where he just suddenly drinks this invisibility potion. He's in the middle of talking with the dragon, and he just drinks an invisibility potion. And then immediately hits the dragon. And it's like, why did you even take the invisibility potion? I don't know why, that blew my mind. But it was like, simultaneously, like, just the best way of catching this dragon off guard. Because it was like, whoa, he just went invisible, and then instantly, thwack. And they proceeded to just body this dragon. Like, none of them grouped together, so I think I was only able to catch, like, one at a time in a breath attack, even with maneuvering on the dragon's part. And I think I had some bad rolls on the dragon or whatever. The proudest I've ever been, and I think the moment as a DM that I had to learn, someone tweeted out the perfect thing about this, like, always doing the best to beat the characters, but being proud when you can't. And that was, like, the biggest moment for me when I was like, I am so proud of my players right now, because I didn't even realize what they were doing, but they, like, out-tacticked this dragon, like, so hard.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it started with just this really, just this odd combination of chugging an invisibility potion and then immediately hitting the thing that you're next to. Just, yeah, I loved it. And it sometimes the simple things are the most effective, but this dragon tried escaping halfway through, as it's wont to do, and they just weren't having it. They took this thing down hard. It was a good moment for them. I think that was a real, like, coming of age moment for the party, because they weren't level appropriate and somehow they did it anyway. Like, that's D&D for me. Like, you shouldn't be able to, but you do it anyway. It's great.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Like, that's some of my favorite kind of shit as a DM, is when I put something in front of the players, I'm like, there's no fucking way. And then they're like, watch me, hold my beer.
Yeah, exactly, hold my beer. Hold my mead.
Of course, it doesn't always work out that way. But when it does, it is, yeah, I can totally agree, that's an awesome moment. Which leads to, Shriki, what would be your most memorable moment?
Well, it definitely would be as a player, because as of yet, I haven't DM'd a game, but hopefully will someday soon. But this, I've kind of been bouncing between two different stories, but I think I'm going to have to go with this one, because it happened really early on when I first kind of started playing D&D. I don't even want to count the years. And I can't even remember what class I was or, like, the full situation. But what I remember is our DM at the time, this guy named Dylan, he was planning this final boss battle. He was so excited for us, like, to go against it. He was totally expecting us to struggle, maybe even lose a couple players, we're not sure. But I go in and I pretty much cast True Polymorph on the boss, and I turned him into a bunny.
Nice.
And that bunny became my familiar. So I
had, oh, wow.
My familiar was more powerful than I was at the time.
Oh my god.
Dylan was so pissed at me.
So this is like the bunny from Monty Python and the Holy Grail, yes! Right? Like,
that's exactly what I pretty much pictured when I did it.
Excellent.
Did the bunny ever attack and kill?
What's that?
I said, did the bunny ever attack and kill? Like, how did that work, having him as a companion?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, this thing I absolutely used in probably more battles than I was actually taking place in. I just sent in my bunny. Like, no.
Release the bunny.
No, I mean, he had more health points than I did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, I'll just say the DM was not too pleased, because battle was over in about, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's one of those times as a DM where you just have to, you just shake your head and you're like, oh, well, this is my life now. Like, sure, like, that was the grand finale. But it's a bunny. Yeah, okay, I'll accept that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I think that was, like, the first game I played with them. So, like, by the end of the night, they're just like, yeah, welcome.
Yeah, I did that a little bit to my DM last night, a little bit. He kept trying to punish me for being an asshole to Strahd again, because that's what my character literally always does. Immediately saw Strahd, called him a bag of dicks. That's our relationship. Yeah. And at this point, he's like practically a god, like in our version of this game, and like how his character's gone in our game. And he just kept trying to choke me and kill me, but I kept rolling nat 20s to get out of it. It was insane.
Oh, damn.
And I was looking at his face, and I know that look because I've given that look of just, I wish you would just fuck up one time. Just one slip up so I can get you and punish you for this. But no.
Yeah.
Didn't happen.
So if I ever play a game with you, I'm going to have to look out for you trying to get revenge on us, then, eh?
Mm-hmm. Not revenge, just, you know, the world will react to you
cosmic
in an appropriate
justice.
Way.
Okay, whatever you want to call it.
Okay, if you go and you walk into someone's house, you punch them in the face and you take an apple, yeah, they're going to come at you hard. That's just how the world would go. If I get pulled into Strahd's dimension and I call him a bag of dicks, I can expect him to try to kill me. That's just how it goes.
Okay, but that's a very Strahd thing to do, yeah.
What if I just walk into someone's house and start breaking jars looking for coins?
I mean, you can expect to get hit with something.
But they allow it in video games. Nobody seems to mind then.
Well, they're code. They are literally just lines of code.
I will never say that.
My reality has just been shattered.
Just like those jars.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And just walking.
That was a really good link.
Oh no! And that's it for the show. Thank you so much.
Hello.
It's over. It's on. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Thread Raiders podcast. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Captain Sugarbear, which is at CPT Sugarbear. Shrieky, do you want to say where we can find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Shrieky. That's at Shriekee, and you can come take a look. I do pyrography and wood burning, stuff like that, so yeah, come check it out.
Right on. Griff, well, where can we find you on the webs?
Yes, you'll find me also on Twitter at Griffolion. That's at GRYFFOLEON, and also twitch.tv/Griffolion, same spelling, where I have recently started playing through Amnesia, a bit of spooky games, and just a little bit of fun here and there.
Right on. You can also find the podcast on Twitter at Thread Raider Pod. And if you have any, you know, questions, comments, concerns, you can feel free to go to our website. It's threadraiderspodcast.com. There's a little submission form there where you can send us a message. Or you can just email at us at raid@threadraiderspodcast.com. Also, don't forget to like our Facebook page and join our Facebook community as well. So does anybody else have anything to add?
But that's all, folks.
God damn it.
It's a classic ending, it really is. I just, big shout out again to Peasant Chips for the submission. And yeah, hopefully we'll have more of them coming in soon.
Definitely. And if you want to share your style choices with us that you'd force upon the world, or your favorite childhood show that you just couldn't miss, or even any of your D&D or any RPG stories for that matter, be it as a player, a DM, a GM, definitely hit any of us up on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. We love discussing this stuff with you. And we definitely try to talk back to anybody who's willing to talk to us. So with that, we are out.
Bye-bye.